B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for listening to us. We appreciate you. In the short amount of time we've been on the air, we appreciate you making us a part of your life. And we were sorry to learn that news, but I do appreciate Jay letting us know that too. So Scott from Mayfair and his family, nothing but the best to all you guys, and we're sorry for your loss. 610-632-0975, and who knows, maybe they'll be blowing field goals left for the Eagles in the future.
There you go.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Jay's, I'm just seeing this story come up on Philly Voice. This is pretty big. Exclusive on Philly Voice.
Harper? Machado?
I wish. Mm. This does not appear positive. Sources inside the Eagles paint Carson Wentz as selfish, uncompromising, and playing favorites. That's just...
What? Whoa, that is a spicy meatball.
That is just the headline itself. Sources inside the Eagles paint Carson Wentz as selfish, uncompromising, and playing favorites. This is on PhillyVoice.com right now, written by Joe Santaliquido. Very interesting stuff here as far as Carson Wentz. I'm going to try to skim through this real quick. But if that headline is at all an accurate portrayal of what the article is, wow.
Mm.
Wow. That is, as you said, Jamie, a very spicy meatball. Now, look, we've been questioning Carson Wentz all season long in terms of whether or not he's focusing too much on Zach Ertz.
Wow, that title, man.
It's complicated.
I brought this up last week regarding the Josina Anderson story. Allegedly, players being upset with focusing on Zach Ertz too much, uh-huh, disrupting the rhythm of the offense. I'm just going to skim it real quick, but I see Josina Anderson's name.
Well, real quick,
mentioned.
I had heard that there was concern he was a little Hollywood. Like, don't believe everything you see in the public.
Really?
Yeah, but I chose not to believe that because I was like, nah, this dude's grounded. He's from North Dakota. He's chill. You know, salt of the earth. This story kind of backs that up.
Yeah, here's
Oh my God. He's not perfect. He's not. Wait a second.
It's a fair point.
I'm just saying, that's my first reaction. Oh my God. Seriously?
Sure.
It's like NCAA investigating any college sport.
Yeah.
Give them 20 minutes, they're going to find something.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Carson Wentz prefers to have his, you know, morning pancakes with no butter.
Yeah, but that's fine and
610-632.
Until it becomes a problem in the locker room.
Is that what this is saying? Oh, wow. I don't know.
Okay. Well, kind of alluding to it, isn't it?
Here's a paragraph from the story. Over the past 2 months, Philly Voice spoke to more than a half dozen players, plus other sources close to the team who all requested anonymity. Never say that word right. Fearing repercussions given Wentz's power within the organization, and what they told us paints a somewhat different picture of the Eagles' locker room and their franchise quarterback than one might expect. So that evidently people speaking out to Philly Voice.
That's not great.
What's the expectation of Carson Wentz? In all honesty, what is all of our expectations or thoughts been? Perfection, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gets there. Oh my gosh, he didn't live up to perfect. That's honest to God. That's what I'm thinking right now.
But the fact that the locker room is mentioned here, that it might paint a different picture than what we expect from the locker room. I mean, this locker room is pretty incredible.
Culture is built. It seems established. It seems bigger than the team.
And what did many of those in the now look, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
Where did he get this perception of perfection from? We didn't make it up. We all heard it from who? The people that were in the locker room with him.
Oh, certainly. But then again, if this article is right, it's saying that those people aren't going to just come out and say that Carson Wentz is, you know, putting a hitch in the giddy up of the locker room. They're not going to throw him under the bus, especially if they think that he's going to be the quarterback going forward. They want to get the ball. If this is offensive players saying this, which I assume it would, I don't know why defensive players would be chiming in on it. But, I mean, that's pretty damning, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some things, you know, that have come out of the locker room, but, you know, it's tough.
All right, we're going to see if we can get Joe on. Joe Santaliquido wrote the story for Philly Voice.
I just texted him. We'll see if we can track him down.
All right, so again, here's the headline. Sources inside Eagles paint Carson Wentz as selfish, uncompromising, and playing favorites. Those are in quotations there. We'll try to run through the story a little bit. Jason in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, great games yesterday. It went down to the wire. I can't believe Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl again, but Yeah, well, watching those, especially the NFC Championship game, watching all those teams, I'm like, the Eagles are better than all those teams that were playing yesterday. I mean, it was just tough to watch. I feel like we could have beat any team that we went up against if we met them in the Super Bowl. I think the difference with the game, what the Rams did was they were able to take Michael Thomas out of the game, you know, with those third downs. They were able to get third down stops, which Jim Schwartz was not able to do when we played them. And it was just, it was frustrating to watch because they were able to, you know, convert on third down on offense when they had the ball and able to make stops. And what we didn't do is our defense was out there for so long and they got tired. And it just, you know, that's what hurt us in the long run. But, yeah, it was just tough to watch because I felt like we could have been in there. I feel like we could have won the Super Bowl. Hopefully next year, you know, we can get back. But, yeah, I just heard you guys talking about that Carson Wentz, the favorite thing. I think that comes from him, you know, passing it to Zach Ertz so much this year. But I don't know. I felt like he was a great guy. But, yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, evidently it's coming from the locker room. They're citing multiple sources, giving them all this information. So we'll try to get to the bottom of it. We're trying to track down Joe Sanliquido, who wrote the story for PhillyVoice.com. Joe's always in the locker room, and we're just waiting.
He just got back to me. He's going to join us in 4 minutes at 9:10.
Okay, yes. Great. All right, thanks for the call, Jason. Appreciate it, man. Very interesting. And look, here's been my take on Carson. I always felt that the Carson that we see at the podium, or the Carson that we see address the media, I don't want to say it's fake. It's certainly not fake. But I think that there is a persona that people have in their minds of Carson. There's an impression that he's made on people that makes him seem as if he's this, you know, golly shucks type of guy. But I think this guy is a fierce competitor, and I mean that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt in
people's
minds.
You better be if you're going to play on this level.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So I just texted that story to my cousins, and like my family, Gene.
Uh-oh.
My cousin Tim, right away, trade him. But, like, he's not playing around. Like, he's serious.
Okay, I'm not about to paint Carson Wentz as a, you know, locker room poison. All right?
If you're a Foles guy, this is going to give you some ammo.
Oh,
man.
Absolutely. That's absolutely going to give you some ammo. Uh-oh. Conspiracy. Maybe this is why they gave Nick Foles the $1 million bonus.
Real quick.
Yeah, Bob. Yes, Bob. Yes, Bob.
Michael Jordan was pretty much hated by everyone.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Of his teammates.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
But Kobe Bryant and Shaq fought each other.
Correct. You don't need to be loved.
Michael Jordan
universally
punched that Steve Kerr character. What's he doing now?
Michael Jordan was the greatest ever to do it.
Yes.
And Carson Wentz is far from that.
Third year in the league.
Point just being, you don't have to be liked to be
really
good.
No, you don't. Understood. I get that. But this is not
a
good look.
And that's not to say that he's not liked.
No, this is not a good look in the least bit. And I'm just saying, it's interesting. Oh, here's somebody else tweeting me. Foles' agent's behind the story. I don't know if that's the case. First off, if it is, credit to Foles' agent for doing whatever it would take. But no, these rumblings, we actually talked about this on Friday. These rumblings were out there before the team started winning again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty damning thing.
Yeah.
Look, and I know Joe, and he's not just the type of guy to throw something against the wall. He likes doing in-depth pieces, and he's not going to go with anything unless he's talked to multiple sources and people gave him similar story or the same story, and he knows what he's going with is the right story. So I know this isn't just coming from a reporter that's just throwing a hot take against the wall to see what happens. To say you talked to multiple sources, there's a piece in here about Carson Wentz kind of going with his own plays. That would be a defense of Mike Groh. For the people like Jamie, me, I mean, for just all of us, we question what is it that Mike Groh kind of does here as an offensive coordinator of an offensive-minded head coach who calls the plays. What does Mike Groh do? Well, if it's not Mike Groh calling the play, it's not Doug Peterson, it's being changed to the line of scrimmage, coaches kind of have to throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to throw their franchise quarterback under the bus.
No, they're not.
Is there any scenario where Doug Peterson would say, well, I called a run five times, but Carson checked to a pass each other time?
Well, there were times where when it were some of those where we were talking about RPOs.
Right.
And he was like, well, hey, it was an RPO, but he chose to throw it.
Okay.
You know, so there's never going to be a time where the coaches are going to just straight up throw your franchise quarterback under the bus. But there have been some grumblings. I've heard some stuff coming out of the locker room about things that are going on behind closed doors. But here's one of the things that Coach Reed was always big on us about. Never do you in the locker room discuss religion, politics, and women. That's all. That's, he was always like, don't ever get into that because that will destroy a locker room quicker than anything because people are going to pick sides.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
And, you know, and I don't know. I don't know how all of this ties in, but, you know, it's unfortunate that this is something that's coming out right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe's on the line. We're going to get to him in 1 second here. Again, if you're just joining us, this story here. Exclusive from Philly Voice sources inside the Eagles paint Carson Wentz as selfish, uncompromising, and playing favorites. That's a quotation from the story. And we have him. All right, on the line with us right now from PhillyVoice.com, Joe Santoliquido. Joe, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right,
I'm going to ask you the question that I think is on some people's minds with this story. What the hell? Kind of catching some people off guard here. So, if you had to sum up the story, what do you got?
Well, I don't think it's catching anybody really. I think a lot of these tidbits were there. If you read the whole thing, you'll see this came out. Justine Anderson touched on this during the course of the season. Touched on it, and I'll say, and Mark, you know me very well.
Yeah,
Bob knows me very well. I am the stumbler bumbler. I am the guy that stumbles into some things. And this started as an innocuous question with, I can't be specific as to who and can't be specific as to where, but it started as an innocuous question involving Eagles offensive coordinator Mike Groh. Mm-hmm. And I was immediately corrected and said, you know, Joe, it's not Groh. It's Wentz.
Well, a player said this to you?
Sources said this to me.
Within the Eagles?
Sources within the Eagles said this to me. Sources, and I mean sources within SPN.
Wow, okay.
And they just went on and touched on it. And then just like I said, just touched on it. And then gradually what would happen is I'm thinking to myself, you know, your antennas go out, and then you get a little bit here, and you get a little bit there. And Bob knows. Mr. Cooney's been around more than a few of these radios. Uh-huh. You know, you get a little bit here and you get a little bit there, and then it starts to build. And then, and you know, especially you, know how anal I am when it comes to something like this and when it comes to large stories. I will go back over it again. I will go back to the sources again. Are you sure about this? Because I'm sticking my tail out there. And more ways than one with this. Are you sure about this? And then I'll go back over. And I literally sent this to four of the sources that I dealt with. I said, am I okay? Is this good? And they got back to me with the five thumbs up. And I'm like, you know, okay. And then on top of that, God bless, you know, Philly Voice's Matt Mullen, because I was like, he should be up for sainthood. Because I would come up with something and I would call him like, hey, guess what I heard now? And guess what I heard now? And just a great team, the Philly Voice great team, Evan Macy and Jimmy Kemsky, who's, I think, the best guy on the Eagles beat, backing me up with this whole thing. And, again, it was a process that built through time. And then finally you get all the pieces together. And then some very, very serious hammers came down and just said, yeah, basically everything that you've been told is true. And bango, let's run with this bad boy.
All right, we're speaking with Joe Santoliquido, who just wrote the story, just posted on PhillyVoice.com. Sources inside the Eagles paint Carson Wentz as selfish, uncompromising, and playing favorites. Now, Joe, here's the thing. Nowadays, whenever people just see sources with no names attached to it, how confident, how credible do you... I mean, obviously, you want to go with it if you didn't find them to be credible, but when somebody's asking the question, sources, how would you address that?
They were incredibly sources. That's the best way to describe it. The other thing too is, let me ask everybody here, Trey, who knows football more, football on his pinky than we all do combined.
Right.
Let me ask you, who've been around. Let me ask Bob, who's been there. What did you guys see this past season? Did you not see a preponderance of targets to Ertz? Did you not see an offense that was kind of clunky under Wentz that seemed to work very seamlessly under Foles? Did you not see the way this team reacted and the way this team played under Foles as opposed to Wentz? Now, again, in the story it states, Foles is universally loved in that locker room, and he is. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, nor did I speak to everyone in that locker room, but you could just tell, and everybody that I spoke to in and outside the complex said, yes, Foles is universally loved. Wentz is not. Now, that's not also to paint a picture that Wentz is despised or hated. I'm sorry, that Wentz is despised or hated. That is not the case. That is not the case. Mm-hmm. But the case is that Foles is someone universally loved. And Foles is someone, and this was not a story of Foles against Wentz. The Eagles are moving forward with Wentz, but the Eagles have a conundrum. The Eagles have a situation where you have a quarterback in Carson Wentz that can get you to the big game, but we don't know whether or not that quarterback can win the big game. You have a quarterback in Foles who over a 16-game span can't get you to the big game, but has proven he can win the big game. So it's one of the biggest dilemmas this city has ever had. The sports world, the pro sports world has ever had in terms of, quarterbacks, in terms of two complementing pieces. One thing also that I can't stress enough, but it's there in the story for people to read. Wentz and Foles have an amazing, incredible relationship. They love each other. They respect each other. They support each other. That is incredibly, incredibly accurate. You know, that all fits into what these guys told me. But the narrative is very, very simple. Carson Wentz was so hell-bent on getting back this season, so hell-bent on making this his team again, that he risked his own health. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think Carson Wentz was healthy this season?
No. I think that he came back. I think that he was still laboring a little bit with his knee, but you could tell like he was trying to force an issue.
Bob?
No, I don't. I think there was something off with him. It was probably the knee, whatever it was, and that caused to me. That's what caused the offense to labor this year.
Yeah, guys, what would you estimate? Carson Wentz was 75%, 80%, 85% of who Carson Wentz could be.
No, I mean, coming back from the injury, Joe, I'm speaking with Joe Saint-Liquido of the Philly Voice. I think he did. I think, personally, he wanted to be out there week one. Eagles held him out to be cautious. I don't think this is a result of him coming back too early or too soon. I think that the offense sputtered because he was trying to do too much by himself. That's why I think the offense sputtered. I mean, there's a reason why they went from 22 points per game to 28 when Nick Foles took over. So, yeah, the offense definitely stepped up once Nick Foles took over. But if that was him killing plays at the line, if that was him focusing on Zach Ertz, I could see why the rest of the offense would be upset about that.
Yeah, and the thing is, he not only risked his own health, and I very strongly believe, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I very strongly believe him going into this season, not exactly 100%, led to the back injury. He risked his own health. He risked the health of the offense. In turn, he risked the health of his team. And we all saw again the end result of this.
Joe, let me ask you real quick. The sources that you got, and you said you went to many, many people. Is this a select few of the locker room that feel this way, or would you say it's a majority that have a sour taste of the way Carson Wentz handled this season?
That I can't speak to because I didn't speak to everybody in the locker room. I do know that the offense, with the exception of Ertz and Wentz, at times were not a happy group. That was expressed to me from the number of people that I spoke to and the number of people that I spoke to throughout the NFL. I mean, there was over a total of, in terms of editors, in terms of, I even had my attorney look at this. His voice, well, I'll leave out, but I also know guys throughout the NFL, that I spoke to, in reference to this. And they said, you know, people talk. And right. there's guys that aren't happy campers. And again, I'll even resort to the Sheen Anderson piece during the course of the season. And again, that was just a tidbit that touched the surface of where this story, how this story laid out in my lap. But she touched on it too. There was a lot of people that were that were not happy. Whereas Wentz came in the last season, he targeted everybody was involved. Everybody's involved. And again, we saw what happened. We saw when Carson Wentz runs this offense the way it's supposed to be run, we saw the results.
Right. So, Joe, what you're saying, it sounds like with everything that's going on this year, we've come back from the injury and then the back injury and the offense having the struggle. It seems like, though, it's not like he's lost the locker room. It just seems like this attitude, the locker room has right now is this year in particular and isolated. What the hell, Carson?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And there was hope. And again, let's also stress this, of everyone that I spoke to, they want him to succeed. They want him to do well. You know, someone says to me, you know, Joe, we said, we want this guy to succeed so badly that it hurts. And I genuinely believe that, you know, again, like I said, I think it's a matter of he pissed a lot of people off. You know, at times this season and sometimes during the whole season. but I think the Carson that he can be and the Carson that they want him to be, I think that has a possibility. And it's there in the story. That's a possibility of returning.
All right.
And hopefully, I'll tell you what, you know, you write something and again, the esteemed Mr. Cooney knows, you know, you're right for that broad audience, this and that. If one person sees this and one person reads this and one person gets something out of this, hopefully it's 11. Hopefully somewhere in a South Jersey home, you know, he's cozying down with his doggies and his guns next to him.
Riggs.
You know, get ready to do his hunt. You know, hopefully maybe 11 may see this and just say, you know what? Maybe I got to take a little bit of a deeper look at myself. And maybe I got to take a step back and reevaluate the way I looked and did some of the things that I did this season. You know, you hear the universal thing that came across was pressing, was his inability to read a defense the way he was his first two seasons. Someone used the word regressed. So there were some things there that I think that I know these things are all correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
and long term. This is you know, he's going to be the old quarterback.
Joe, will this have, I mean, the doomsday scenario is that, oh, this will have the Foles people saying, look, you can't have Carson Wentz around anymore. So do you think that's what it'll come down to? Or do you think this is something that is very well within repair?
Oh, just well within repair. I think all this stuff is collectible. And again, I can't stress this enough because we human beings have a tendency, let's look at the negative, let's look at the negative. You know, these guys all said highly intelligent. Works incredibly hard, very determined. These are Carson Wentz mantras. These are things that he does well. What he needs to do is really to kind of take a step back and just like, you know, hey, listen, guys, I suffered from tunnel vision last season. Let's get everybody involved. Let's get everybody on the same page. And let me begin trusting this offense the way I trusted it during my MVP-like season. Because he certainly trusted it then. And you see again that same offense. Same offense Foles ran. Again, you don't have to be a football expert. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure it out that, you know, when you trust that offense, and it's a winning offense, a Super Bowl winning offense, that outdueled Tom Brady last year, when that's trusted,
Stop it, man.
That's
man.
A trigger. That's a trigger phrase for Trey, outdueling.
He did not outduel Tom Brady.
Well, they scored 41 points and they won the Super Bowl with that offense. Is that okay, Trey?
Yeah, that's cool.
It'll never not be funny to me. Sorry, real quick, Joe, last thing for you. Speaking with Joe Santoliquito of Philly Voice, just put the story out regarding Carson Wentz. Sources inside the Eagles paint Carson Wentz as selfish, uncompromising, and playing favorites. What about the coaches? What about Doug Peterson? If this was the case and that was going on, it seems like these players have been very vocal to their position coaches and their head coach about anything that disrupts the locker room. So what would the coaches do when they'd hear about this?
That I don't know, and that I can't speak to, but I do know this, and we all know this, Doug Peterson's not going to throw his franchise quarterback under the bus in any way. Doug Peterson's not going to turn around and just say, you know, hey, Carson's not running the offense that we want it the way we want it run. But I think that comes in the eye test. I think that comes in, again, when that offense is run the way it should be run. We see the results and we see what happens. And hopefully, there's going to be enough sway to get Carson into investing into the way that investing into not only just the offense, but investing in his teammates and trusting his teammates again. You know, whereas Foles trusted those guys, again, the eye test shows that Wentz did not. I mean, again, this is a lot of this is not really a great, and again, I write it, a lot of this is not a revelation. A lot of it isn't. Some of it is, but a lot of it isn't. And how Doug Peterson, and again, I wrote it, Doug, I thought Doug did a far better job this season. I thought Doug deserved to be coach of the freaking year.
Yeah.
In terms of how he balanced everything, and the fact is that these guys made the playoffs. He did a far better job this year to even get them to the playoffs than he did in winning the Super Bowl last year, because he is developing and he is also balancing so much stuff behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, politically. Again, mm-hmm. you don't want to piss off 11 to a point where, you know what, this is the way I was treated here. This is his contract year coming up. I'm out of here, guys.
Sure, and so it doesn't.
He has to turn around. He has to placate his star,
yeah,
as well as try to placate others.
Right, and Joe, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It just seems like this could have been a year where Carson was just trying to do way too much on his own and was pressing, as you just said, was pressing to get back into the swing of things and help his team. I mean, I guess the intentions were good.
Yeah, but I also think of that process, Mark. Again, he, and obviously, again, for the eye to see, he alienated a hell of a lot of guys on that team.
So when
he alienated a lot of weapons on that team that he could have used, and he did not. And he also did that because I think there was a little insecurity that may have surfaced with Carson Wentz. And this is just opinion, but I think there was a little bit of insecurity that surfaced. And again, maybe and possibly limited his field vision to, again, see 86, 86, 86, and not really see anybody else.
All right, so
he targeted them 106 times. 106 times, 30 more times than he targeted. I think it was 76 or 75 times he targeted Alshon Jeffrey, and I think Nelson Aguilar was targeted 60 times on the blitz. It's a pretty big disparity.
So it sounds like if you're not in Bible study with him, he's not really dealing with you like that.
I can go into that, but I'm going to leave that alone. Someone gave me a great analogy that I'm not going to repeat on the air. I do believe I repeated it to Mark off the air, but I'm going to leave that bad boy alone. I'm just saying, Carson, again, I'll just reserve back to Carson had his favorites, and sometimes that's spelled out on the field. Because let me ask the three of you guys this: do you think Jordan Matthews would be an Eagle without Carson Wentz?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Bob?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, we're up against it, man, but I appreciate you. I know it was short notice, but thank you for coming on with us and at least talking about the story. I'm sure you're going to be talked about a lot, my friend. So
I got a feeling I'm already getting castigated in some circles and
right.
others. What's out there is out there. What's out there, I think, again, and we all, if you read the story, it's over 2,000 freaking words, but a lot of it is not a great revelation. A lot of it, like, you scratch your head, like, this adds up, doesn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, again, you go back to the numbers, and it would. But Joe Santoliquido, phillyvoice.com, if you want to check out his article, Jay Santoliquido on Twitter as well. Joe, thanks so much, man.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, Bye-bye. Appreciate it, man. Good work out of you. Got to get a break. We're going to run through some calls coming up in a few. Time in the Fanatic is 9:28.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Get some reacts here to Joe Santoliquido's story about Carson Wentz apparently being selfish and playing favorites. Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
What's morning.
I got a couple quick points. With this article coming out about Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Right? And with the fact that they got that little contract thing going with Nick, right?
Yes.
Doesn't it make more sense for the Eagles to not pay Carson now, right? Make him prove himself. Keep Nick here for the year Why would you go be a backup in New England when you're a hero here?
Right. And if he doesn't want it, if he really doesn't want to be a starter, then this would be the best place for him. The other aspect of that is that they don't have to pay Carson yet. So right. You might get Nick Foles at $20 million. And then what is, I don't even know, what's Carson Wentz at right now? $12 million? Is he even that high yet? $10 million? Then you're paying $30 million for your quarterbacks.
Yeah, but my point is this. Are you going to give Carson $100 million not having proved himself? Especially if what the stuff is in this article is true?
Yeah, go ahead. Say it again. I'm sorry.
I'm saying if this stuff in the article is true.
Right.
Okay. Are you going to give this kid a $100 million contract? Not having proved himself?
Well, see, here's the thing, Al. You don't have to give that to him yet. If he comes back next year and he proves himself, yes, you give him a mega huge kajunga deal. But as of right now, he's had one really good year that he didn't finish because of injury. I still believe Carson Wentz will be a perennial MVP, and you don't have to make that decision on money for another year or so. And here's the deal. You don't have to pay him now. You don't even have to pay him after next year. You could tag him after next year if you wanted to. So they still have a lot of time to decide what they want to do with Carson Wentz. Larry, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Larry?
I can't believe that guy got as much airtime as he did. He clearly just wants publicity. He gave no credible sources. Incredibly credible sources is what he said.
Yeah.
Who says that? You ever hear Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter say incredibly credible sources?
I hear them say very credible sources.
That guy was a joke. He clearly just wants publicity.
But he's not. I know for a fact that he's not. And I can tell you right now, he's not just a guy that's a, you know, publicity-seeking type of reporter.
He didn't give any information. All he gave was his conjecture on what might be happening.
And what the sources told him.
Because of what's going on.
And what the sources told him.
And he never said that they were in the locker room.
Yeah, he did.
When you asked him at the beginning if it was players, he would not commit to that it was players. So who are his sources? That's ridiculous.
I think you're not giving enough credit to the media, and I think you're somebody that just likes to shout fake news. Sorry, sometimes even if it's a tough story to hear, it's a true story.
Yeah,
so I don't know what that guy's
problem. You don't want to put the players under that microscope.
Absolutely not.
And Joe's a lifelong journalist. Like I think he understands the repercussions of putting something out there like this.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not doing, and Joe is not an attention seeker.
No.
Like,
I know for a fact he's not.
So, just because we didn't like to hear what he had to say doesn't make it not true.
Exactly.
I understand where the fans are coming from. They don't want to hear this.
No, of course not.
Nobody wants to hear it. I have some trepidations about it, as I told you guys during the break. Like, is this getting a little bit overblown? Like, the former journalist in me always wonders, how far would I have gone with this? I don't know. I asked Joe specifically, is it a select few in the locker room, or is it a majority in the locker room? Because I think that's important.
Sure.
I could have a player come up to me and say, hey, he was kind of selfish to come back on 80%. That wasn't the best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that people calling Carson Wentz selfish? You know, it's interpretation. It's where it goes. Joe was comfortable with it. We have to trust him because it's what he tells us. You might not like the story. You have to respect that he ran with it and believes in it. You know, you can have your own thoughts, and I have mine, and we all have our own.
Now, he is quoting sources, so it's not just him using his own words saying that these people are selfish. He is quoting the sources in this regard. Get Jeremy real quick. Mount Laurel, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for a good show, man.
Thank you. We try.
Yeah, no. Look, I just want to say something brief about, you know, Wentz and Nick Foles. To be frank with you, since I started seeing Wentz, he's not authentic in my view. I see that selfishness in him when he's playing and stuff like that. He looks mean, and when he even speaking to the public, he does that. I mean, him on the speaking, you don't see any humor in what he said. And that is very, very fundamental. That is very important to this team. Now, Nick Foles, on the other hand, has done so good that we've really seen when Wentz got hurt. He took us to the Super Bowl. What, have we forgotten? And just this season, at least Nick Foles took us up there. Have we forgotten? And we curse him. Some people abuse him on the radio and stuff like that.
Who are we abusing?
No, not you. I'm saying some callers, not you.
Abusing?
I mean, Nick Foles. They don't like Nick Foles. He's this, he that. In fact, he should leave the team. They should let him go and all that. Look, quickly, when Chip Kelly came, you know, Oh, we thought it was an eclipse of the moon. This is the sports scientist. He's this, he's that. And after one or two seasons, he collapsed and left. The same thing is going to happen to Nate Foles. I mean, it's going to happen to Carson Wentz. I'm telling you, take it from my words. Today, on this 21st day of January 2019, you're going to see after this coming season, that guy will be done.
Oh, Carson Wentz will be done?
Carson Wentz will be done.
See, I still think the guy's going to be an MVP of this league. Like, that's why I'm so confident to move on from a guy like Nick Foles. Take some more calls coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Let's get to Brian in Middletown real quick. He's been holding. Brian, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, man.
Morning.
And happy MLK Day, man. Hey, listen, I just wanted to chime in on two things, Wentz and Jim Schwartz. I thought the criticism of Schwartz was absolutely unfair last week. And when you look at the fact that the Rams actually gave up 23 points to the Saints and they won, you know, the late great Jim Johnson was never concerned about yardage. He wasn't concerned about time of possession. He was only concerned about one thing, points. And if you would know going into that game that the Eagles were going to hold the high-powered Saints offense the 20 points a game, you've got to win that game. That was an offensive problem, all right? So, you know, to me, Schwartz deserves to come back. I have no issue with him. Regarding Wentz, you know what? I think more of the pressure now is not actually from Foles. But it's actually from his contemporaries. I mean, the contemporaries of Wentz. You look at someone like Jared Goff. He's going to already play in four playoff games by the time next season starts. Dak Prescott has already played in three playoff games. Mahomes. So the pressure is from the other contemporaries. It's time for Wentz to stay healthy and win a playoff game next season. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting season to watch.
Oh, no doubt. And look, here's the big thing, Brian. Thanks for the call. The big thing that's going to ring true with this story, I think, is just the fact that it's not shame on Carson Wentz or anything like that. I think it's just a matter of a guy being frustrated, trying to do more than he really could, that his body allowed him to, whether that be because of injury or whether that because he didn't have the proper offseason. Like, I think this is just this story just makes me want Carson Wentz to stay here. Like, this doesn't make me go, oh, Nick Foles, definitely now, sign him to a 10-year deal. Like, that's not what the story makes me do. The story makes me think some guys in the locker room weren't happy they were getting the football. Some coaches might not have been happy with the way that Carson Wentz was running the offense, ignoring their play calls. It just makes me think Carson Wentz and himself was trying to do way too much. That's the only takeaway I have from the story. Not the walk of shame with Carson Wentz or anything like that.
You're not doing the walk of shame with Carson Wentz?
Shame! 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 Like, not like that.
That would make me more upset.
Not that walk of shame. Game of Thrones, Bob.
Okay, my fault.
That's how I think of it. That's it right there. Let's put a bow on this one with our Twitter poll. What was our second Twitter poll question, Sam?
Today we asked, do you like Tony Romo as a broadcaster? We had just under 2,300 votes in an hour and a half. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 90% said yes.
Listen to that. They just love Tony Romo now. The broadcaster.
What a change.
We did specify the broadcaster, mm-hmm. Tony Romo. Still not the point I can listen to him correct the Eagles' mistakes, but nonetheless, he's one hell of a broadcaster. I got to give him that. Last night was incredible. It was absolutely, like, it made me think. Remember, I think it was in 2000, 2001, when the Giants were accused of stealing radio signals from the Vikings in the NFC Championship game? That's what it made me think of. Maybe Tony's got the signals of the Patriots and the Chiefs. Maybe he's listening to those signals.
He's getting the calls.
Yeah, he's listening and then saying, oh, this was going to go to Gronk. As the safety comes down, it's going to go to Gronk. Like, it might as well have been said out loud by Andy Reid. Or Bill Belichick in this case. Or no, Josh McDaniels in this case. Hey. That's seriously. Let's get some takeaways of the day in here. Jamie, let's start off with you, Sam. Your takeaway of the day would be what?
My takeaway is just to all our Twitter followers that are tweeting in saying that the article is fake news because he didn't reveal his sources. But Journalism 101, never reveal your sources.
If they're reliable sources, that's what you got to go with.
As long as you have multiple sources that say the same thing.
Look, and you're young enough to remember school.
Yes, 8 months, you know.
Jamie, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is just because a journalist writes something you don't like to hear doesn't make it false.
No, not in today's world. If I don't like it, it's not true.
Not everything with unnamed sources is fake news media. All right?
There you go.
That's my final thought.
Thank you very much, Bob. Yeah.
In honor of Martin Luther King, I was having a dream this morning. And it was rudely disrupted by my alarm clock going off. And I have only Mark Farzetta to blame for that, Trey Thomas.
Miss Scusi.
Otherwise, yeah. I'd still be sleeping.
Yeah. Because dealing with Mark, my black card has now been in question. That I was not scheduled to come to work, and I still chose to. So I'm waiting to hear back what's going to happen. Thank you, Mark.
Sorry about your card.
For putting my black card.
If there's...
in review.
I feel like I have no response to that, because whatever I say, I'll get in trouble. Whatever I say, there's no right answer for me. There's zero right answer. My takeaway of the day is similar to Sam, you, and Jamie as well. Yeah, if you don't like a story, that just automatically means it's not true, even though it is. The time of the Fanatic is 9:55. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.